Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you, live your life in the reality of His power, and be all His Word says you can be.
You have your Bibles in your hands? If you don't have a Bible in your hands, I would permit you to use the Bible on your phone, hoping that you wouldn't be chatting or checking Instagram while the service is going on. Do you have a notepad? I told you last Sunday that you should approach church like a school where you come to learn. Jesus says, follow me and learn of me. Learn of me. So following Jesus will require learning. He calls them disciples. Disciples are students, the learners. So don't come to church without the writing material. Make it a culture that anytime you come to church ready to learn. You have your writing materials, you have your own Bible. You see, the media are doing a lot of work helping us project the Bible on the screen. But you should come to church. Don't change the key. Don't change the key. You should come to church with your own Bible. So tell your neighbor, do you have a Bible? It will shock you how many Christians don't have a Bible. Bring it down, David. Bring it down. When we're younger Christians, we used to have one New Testament, Gideon's Bible. Who knows the Bible? Everyone knows the Bible? Yeah, it used to be a pocket Bible. We have it. We didn't believe our dressing was complete if you didn't have a Bible. And we knew everything about the Bible. We studied the Bible. And we need to go back to Bible study. We really need to go back to Bible study. We need to go back to reading the Bible. Reading the Bible every morning. Read your Bible, pray. Yeah? Yeah. Pray. Read your Bible, pray. If you want. One more time. Read your Bible, pray. Pray. Where's Timmy? Pray. Pray.
Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to.
One more time. Read your Bible,
read your Bible, pray every day.
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 Read your
Bible, pray every day if you want to grow.
If you want to grow. If you want to grow,
read your Bible, pray every day.
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 Read your Bible,
pray every day
if you want to.
So those were the kind of songs we used to sing in those days. We all had our personal Bibles. And the reason why we have weak Christians today is that Bible study started leaving our churches. We used to have at Sunday schools. How many of you know Sunday schools? Yeah. Honestly, this our wokeness stole a lot of things from us. We used to know every story. There are stories in the Bible that if I mention now, some people here may never have heard that story before. We knew the names of everyone. Ahithophel, Absalom. We knew the names of wives, Martha, Mary. We knew everybody's names. Even long names, Darius, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. We knew all names because we studied the Bible. The Word of God is the seed. I said it last Sunday. The seed, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, 13 and 14, help me do more. Mark 4. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable?
And how then will ye know all parables?
How then? Because they were asking him the parable of the sower. They were asking him, what does it mean? He said, if you don't know the parable of the sower, then you can never know any other parable. The parable of the sower is the basic parable of all scriptures. The parable of the sower is the core parable of all scriptures. He says, if you don't know that parable, how then will you be able to know any of the parable? What does the next verse?
The sower soweth.
The sower, verse 14.
The sower
soweth the word. Is that what it says? Verse 14. Media.
The sower soweth the word. 14.
The word is the seed. The word is the seed. You see, the devil is not afraid of the Bible. The devil is not afraid of these scriptures. He knows that a seed that is not planted cannot grow, talk less, or bearing fruit. The seed of God's word that is not planted in the heart of man cannot yield any fruit. So if I have a big Bible like this in my house, but the words in that Bible is not planted in my heart, it cannot yield any fruit. The devil knows that. The Bible says the seed is the word. Again, it says the water is the word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5, 26. Help me. Ephesians 5, 26. What does it say?
That.
Just flow.
That he might sanctify and cleanse you through the washing of the water by the
word. By the washing of the water. By the word. So he calls the seed the word. It costs the water, the word. The seed that you plant is the word. The water that you water the seed with is the word. So I say it takes more and more word to grow in the word. If I do not plant the seeds of God's word concerning my healing in my heart, it will not grow. Paul speaking says, Paul planted, Apollos watered. Then what happened next? God did what? Are there Bible scholars in this house? God did what? It says, I, Paul, planted, Apollos watered, then God. Can you see that God came last? The initiative for growth starts from man's deliberate attempts to plant the seed. It doesn't start with God, it ends with God. It is man's responsibility to plant God's word. It is man's responsibility to water God's word. Then you would see how God will cause increase. So if there is no increase, it's because someone has not planted. The seed of God's word concerning your family must be planted in your heart. The seed of God's word concerning your finance must be planted. Must be planted. It must be planted for it to bring forth fruits. It must be planted. Suppose it says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. What I'm giving you this morning is cooked food. You see what I'm serving you this morning? What I'm giving you this morning is not seeds. Please follow me closely. When I come up here to preach the gospel, what I do to you is that I give you food that I've cooked. As powerful as cooked food is, as satisfying as cooked food is, the problem with the cooked food is that the cooked food doesn't grow. If you cook rice, it can grow. You know that? You know cooked foods can grow? Can grow. So, I have put a lot of seeds together, garnished the ingredients, put the Maggi, put the curry. I'm serving you cooked food so it can satisfy your immediate need for God's word. But if that word is going to produce in your life, you must take the seed of the word when you get back home and begin to deliberately plant it in your own heart. That is the only way it can reproduce. So you can be satisfied with God's word that I preached today, but that word cannot reproduce in your life. It is not planted. Bible spoke about the trees that didn't grow. Said they had no soil. They had no depth of soil because they had no roots in themselves. So when the sun came, they died. Why? Because they had no roots. The purpose of God's word is that you have roots in yourself. That you have a firm grasp on this word that is clear to you yourself. So that when somebody attacks you over it, you have a word in your spirit for it. You won't be able to say, my pastor said, my pastor said, my pastor said. Have you met Christians that don't have anything to say? It's only what their pastor said? Yeah. that God has never said anything to them personally, only what their pastor said. That's terrible Christianity. That's a Christian that cannot last. The moment you face persecution, you die out because you have no root in yourself. My job is to try every day to make sure I'm indispensable. Is that get that right? No, it's to make sure I'm dispensable. That's what it means. That's right. It's to make sure that my job is to try every day to make sure that you are able to stand alone without me. The Lord was stirring my heart this week. He says, if you are not dispensable, then you are not promotable. He says, so long as you are needed, then I will not be able to take you to the next level. Because I don't want to give you an assignment that sink this assignment I've given to you. You get my point? So every time you have to call me, if you have a small headache, I'm not doing my job. By now, you should be able to cure headache by your own mouth. You should have a word in your own spirit for headache, for fibroid, for cancer. You have a word in your spirit. You get my point? Yes. Because you have to grow roots in yourself as a Christian, by yourself, over your own family. Because if you wait for every time you need to call me, one day, Satan might say, ah, it's every time we attack this guy. He's always calling pastor. So he tells his demons, oh, demon A, demon B, demon C. Next time you want to attack that guy, first go and mess up with the mast. Mess up with the network. The more you're able to isolate her and she can't call her pastor, that's the end. You don't want to be that kind of Christian that has no root in herself or no root in himself. God wants you to have root in yourself. So the cooked food that I'm serving you cannot grow. It can satisfy your hunger. It can help you. It can bless you. You get that? It can steal faith in your heart, but it cannot reproduce. You need to take the seed of God's word by yourself. By yourself. You need to sit down with the Bible. What did the word of God say about healing? And take the seeds into yourself. Amen. The Bible says, because 1 Peter 2 verse 4 says, as little children, it says, desire sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Look at Proverbs 4:22. Help me do more. Proverbs 4:22. Proverbs chapter 4:22. What does it say?
For they are life unto
they
those that find them.
To those. Media, what's happening today? Proverbs 4:22. They are life to those who find them. And what?
And health to all their flesh.
So when people find the word, it becomes life to them. When people find the word, they have found it for themselves. Are you following my point?
Yes, sir.
Now, what I'm telling you now is fantastic, it's great. But when you have found it, nobody can take it away from you. I have found God's word as it regards health. There is nobody that can take it away from me. I have found it. It has become life to me. Now, I can share it and people can be blessed. But for everyone to whom it will become life, everyone must take personal responsibility of finding the word. If we keep on doing the things we are doing in church today, we are going to have a bunch of weakling Christians. People that have no strength in their spirit. Because it is with bread that makes a man strong. Bible says with bread, it's bread. When you eat, you become strong. Not just when you sit down in the church. You must eat God's word for yourself. And you don't have to be a pastor to read the Bible. I'm telling you. It's challenging. You know, when I see Christians that don't have Bible. I've seen Christians that don't have Bible. No Bible in the house. I mean, if you come to my house, there's several Bibles. I can be doing a coat. I can wear black suit, black Bible, blue suit, blue Bible. Several Bibles in my house. Anybody say neighbor? Get back into the word. Right, I want to call Anatu. What's Anatu? Anatu has a testimony this morning. Anatu, please come forward. Let's say she comes forward. We're gonna have to put announcements and we're gonna have to put testimonies into our daily Sunday schedule. We have people giving testimonies every up here every Sunday, because I get to hear those testimonies, you know, and I think it's important that we share them so everyone can draw strength from them. Now I'm gonna you can hold the mic. You won't preach. Thank you. Let's celebrate Alpha. All right. So sometime 2021. I used to do passing the mic. As I've had me share that testimony before, I will pass the mic. Then I'll say, who else can sing? I mean, if you see me do things like that, it's because today my sermon, I've not even started. Time has gone. Normally, I would do that. Where we had the kind of time, we could do all that. So one of those days, I was passing the mic, and then somebody was pointing to a neighbor. That she can sing, pastor, she can sing. So I gave the neighbor the mic. And brought her out. She was sitting at the far back, brought her out. When she came to the front that day, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything was happening to her. It was on that day that the Lord healed her from a hormonal challenge that she had battled since when?
Since 2016.
2016. She had had an hormonal issue that she had battled. There was something you called lactose something.
That it's a case where your prolactin is very high. Prolactin is what is responsible for breast milk in women. Mm-hmm. And when you are discharging, it means you can't take in.
Okay.
So
and that prolactin has been since when?
Since 2016.
So she's been what's the language I'm supposed to use? She's been lactating since 2016. That means she can never be pregnant. Now, because of the pregnancy issues around her husband, child delivery, which was part of the issues she had with her husband, she was out of her husband's, she was out of marriage because this pain, some form of, you know, contribution towards that. So when I brought her out that day, I didn't know she was lactating. She has been lactating for 5 years. I didn't know she had been having hormonal challenge for 5 years. That was 2021. So can you describe what happened to you that day?
Okay, so that day, the song was Jaira, You Are More Than Enough.
Okay.
And he brought me out and I'm very tensed. And I sang. I didn't sing so much. I just sang and then I ran back. So that very moment, I felt a cold sensation in my body. So I didn't really know what was going on. And my period had delayed for like 4 months before that. I'm even used to period not coming. So if it comes, so when I went back home, the flow came. So I thought it was one of those days that the period would just come and then it would now go again and then come back. So I discovered from 21, I didn't pay attention till like 4 months after I discovered that this period is regular. Then I now said, okay, what's going on? I started checking myself. I discovered the breastfeeding milk and everything stopped. And then I continued checking. So I went back to the hospital 2022 and everything just disappeared. And
disappeared like that. Now, this is an ailment that has been for like 5 years. And I just brought her out. You know, I didn't pray. I didn't know that she had anything. Because I couldn't pray because I didn't know she was suffering that. I brought her out and I stood her in front. I knew that she didn't want to sing. But you see, the anointing of God is present in the house. And that's why I pity those that just come to church for showmanship. One of our sisters, Pig Bames. Where's Pig Bames? She had a growth in her hand. That growth has been on for how many years before then? Can you speak far from there? You can't remember. She just like this. So during service, I would just walk around and I held her hand. I wasn't praying. Honestly, I wasn't praying. Now, held her hand. Somehow, I would just have held her hand and drop it. Maybe I would just greet it. But somehow that morning, I held it for a long time. I held it. I dropped the hand. Before she knew it, the growth started disappearing and went down completely. This is a growth that they are diagnosed for surgery. I didn't pray. The anointing of God is in his house. And you know, you can miss out on it just because you got familiar with it. That is used to you. You know, I can heal leprosy by an i5 and not even know. The dead body of Elisha that rose up that man that died, the dead body was not praying, but there was anointing locked up in the bones of Elisha. Okay, so now that was the first testimony. Can we celebrate God for that? Amazing. Now the second testimony came by our prayer watch, and I'm saying it because I want to encourage for those of you that don't join the prayer watches. Maybe next time, if you come to me for a problem, I'll say, do you used to attend prayer watch? Say, if you don't attend, sorry, go with your problem. Okay? So you're going to share, I'm doing this so I can make it fast. You're going to share that briefly. What happened?
Okay, Thursday last week, 6 a.m. morning prayers. I joined the prayer morning, afternoon. I don't miss anyone,
okay,
including midnight. So, and pastor said he sensed in his spirit something about the spirit of accident. So we prayed. Everybody prayed. I believe we all prayed online. And that morning, I was to go to GT Bank because those guys were withdrawing my money for reasons I didn't understand. So I wanted to go and sort it out. So I went very early after the prayer, 7 o'clock. And then on our way back, around 9, by then I was done with the bank. The boat I entered, guy was just driving anyhow. Just driving.
was like, Oga, slow down. What's going on? Is everything okay? And he was so rude and nasty. So I just kept my calm. And then I just said, there's a hedge of protection over me. So anything. I didn't say anything. There's this, for those of us that know Central Area, that road that comes, that connects, you're going down to Airport Road. There's a road that leads to Airport coming from Secretariat. Those crisscross road. Now, if you're going straight, another car is coming this way. Another one is going this way. You have to be very careful. We were going this way. We were going straight. One Benz came from our lane. As if he was confused. So immediately he just swerved to the right. And then our car just hit. And the airbags, it was a mess. I didn't have a scratch. The guy was injured, terribly injured. I was sitting down. I just saw airbag. Nothing. I came out without a scratch. So everybody was wondering, like, don't be tough now, did this front. Like, what's going on? His head was bleeding everywhere. He had cuts. I came out, no scratch, nothing. I just ordered. I didn't even stay there. I just ordered boot and went to my house.
Yeah. All right, so tell us the testimony about the job.
Okay, so I went to aviation school, so I'm licensed to fly an aircraft, and the Embraer 145 and 135. I finished my course with aviation in January, and when I finished, one of my prayers was, I started looking for a job and I started committing it into God's hands. And then we entered month of prosperity. And then I was praying and praying and praying. And then one day I was going to meet someone that was supposedly help me with a job. And then when I entered boat, I went to Gwarinpa. The guy that took me there, you know, he said he was tired. And he noticed I was busy looking. I was watching the way. I'm very cautious. I like to see how people drive. So will I drive the car? I said, yes. So I came down, I drove the car, went to Gwarinpa, and I paid him. And then he saw my name, Hanatu Jibrin. He now said, are you a Muslim? I said, no, I'm a Christian. He now said, where are you from? I said, Zamfara State. He now said, Zamfara Hanatu. He said, okay. That he didn't say anything. Then I went. On getting there, the person that was supposed to give me a job was now saying that I have to sleep with him. So I was like, Oga, if to get this job, I have to sleep it. Do you know what it means to read in aviation? You have to know book. Then to come and, after reading everything I read, just to get a job, I have to sleep with you. I said, let the job wait. I'll wait.
So then, I want to put a little dot on that. And I know that there are a lot of people in church who we cannot trace their testimony. They say it's the Lord's doing. It wasn't the Lord's doing. They did the do. Now, there are several people who we don't know how they got their cars. There are people we don't know how they got the job in the church. And they are giving God the glory for what God didn't do. If you compromise your faith to get anything, you have to keep compromising it to keep it. If you slept with your boss to get a job, you have to keep sleeping with him to keep the job. And don't blame God, because if God looks at you the way you are doing, he allows you, since you already know the way. There are students who get scores by sleeping with lecturers. There are people that are even on that person. You see, the 21st century Christian may not be persecuted by beheading. This is persecution. This is 21st century persecution. You can't get a job until you be on my bed. That's persecution. Because then this is a temptation against your faith. And a lot of Christians will compromise because nobody can see them. Now, if she had slept with that guy and then came here and gave us a testimony, I would have called her out like this. Blind man of God like me. And I would have been giving God glory. God said, yes, carry that glory. Latrine. From your mouth straight to God's dustbin. Because it didn't belong to God. And if you are here, maybe you may be a student, maybe you are looking for a job and you have gotten a lot of job offers. The reason why they didn't give you the job is because you didn't agree to sleep. I want you to know that God has something special for you. All right, so continue.
Okay, so after that, I came back home and then I just prayed, took comfort in God and just went to bed. So after like that month of prosperity, one time I saw a message from a number. Then he was trying to describe himself. I couldn't remember. So he was like, I went to Gwarimpa this, that night. And I'm like, okay. I just said, okay, let it be that. Because honestly, I couldn't remember. He now said, hey, what did you say you were doing again? I said, I just finished my training with aviation and I'm searching for a job. He started calling some airlines. I said, the particular airline you are calling, the night you took me, you say you took me there, somebody offered to sleep with me. And because of that, I developed one kind of, I wasn't interested again in the airline. So he said, his brother is a manager there, that I should send my CV and I should bring the hard copy. Honestly, I was like, boat guy. What's in joining boat guy with aviation? I said, because aviation, the connection is far. So I was with, my friend came to the house. She spent the weekend with me and then we went together. She was like, let's go. And we went, we were submitting CVs and then that day we went. He didn't tell me the address. He said, when I'm ready to come, he will send the address. So when we were ready, we just told him that, okay, we are ready. He now sent an address. I didn't check again. On getting there, we got to ECOWAS headquarters.
Now, the person involved that was driving boat works in ECOWAS headquarters. When the Bible says that it's going to send strangers to build your world, you see, you know, sometimes when we declare these things, it looks like, okay, maybe they're just cajoling us. Maybe it's a lie. Maybe it's not true. He says, Cyprus, I will lead you. I will hold you by your hands. I will unloin, I will untie the loins of kings. Now, she wouldn't even have believed that this bold guy walks in a place like that. What happened when you got there?
So when I got there, he said I should tell them I'm looking for Mr. Abdul. So I got there, I told them, I waited at the gate. This man came out from ECOWAS headquarters. I was looking at him. He just collected. He didn't say anything. He just said, not good morning, good morning. He took my CV and left. Very strict man like this. He left. My friend asked what happened. I said, he just took my CV and then we went back home. We didn't talk. Then we entered month of April, understanding righteousness. And then Thursday after the accident, on Friday, the man sent me a message. He said that they are fasting. He's not the type to promise people things. He will say it as it is, that the airline had finished recruiting, that they will do supplementary lease, but that he's not able to sleep in his house, that he doesn't understand what's going on, that something is disturbing him to help this lady. She has to be doing something. So he said he has even discussed it with his wife. He now gave the wife the phone. No, we greeted and we were speaking Hausa, and then she was like, okay. I think the wife wanted to speak with me. I don't know. After that, the following day, I think, yeah, that Friday, later in the evening, he now said, what business can you do while we are waiting for this job? I said, business. So I said, sir, let me call you back. And I went back. I said, which work will I do now? I don't remember that I was doing. I used to do boats before, and I wanted something that would be giving me money without stress. So I enjoyed boats, and then I said, okay, I'll do boats. He said, yeah, boats. That I just bought one car from Canada, US. That the car is coming in, and that since I want to do boats, that how much? This is how it started. Now, how much can you remit? I said I used to remit 25,000. He said, how much can you remit? So me, I didn't want to be greedy. I said 20,000. He now said, can you remit 15,000? Ah. I said, sir, in this Abuja, nobody remits 15,000. He said, okay, that if I can remit 15,000. So I was like, okay. I started thanking God. At least I'll be doing something. That night, he called me back. Okay, no, the Saturday morning, he just called me. He called me on video call. I was angry, like, why are you I hate that thing. Don't take permission. Why are you calling me on video call? And then I reluctantly picked. And him and the wife sat down. He said, you know what? Me and my wife just concluded. Just take the car.
Okay. Go and sit down. Let me preach on from there. Just what? I want to keep you guys on suspense. Just take the car. Stranger. Complete stranger. Just take the car. Muslim. It says strangers will build your world. You know something about Anatu that when she was sharing her testimony with me that, you know, kept me very strong was that she knew the theme of every month. See, we're in the month of this. You see, so there are some people that if I ask them, what's the theme of this month? They don't know. Very casual. You are not able to draw from virtue for something you don't value. It's not possible. It is value that draws virtue. You don't even know the theme of the year. What is the theme of this year? You don't know. She would say, I mean, because of time, when she was telling me, because she came to my office, I sat down, I listened to her testimony from beginning to the end. She would say, and I was in watch prayer, and there was a word, they said in watch prayer, this is the word, they said, Pastor Philip, you said, I was writing it down, because she gave details. I saw that her mind was in everything we're doing. She knew. We entered the month of Untying Righteous, we entered the month of, she was able to draw virtue because her heart was there. Some people are in church, they don't even know what's going on. They don't know anything. They are just every day, just like SSC experience, SSC experience. When I say, what did the pastor say? Oh, that pastor, they pray. Yeah, Omo, if you see Rema, what did he say? Omo, I just like the message. What's that? Oh, very deep. What did you learn? Nothing. Nothing. It is value that draws virtue. I love testimonies like that because I can trace it. I love testimonies that I can trace. So what happened? So what did you now do? So she turned down a job offer. I mean, she got an offer from was it Virgin Atlantic. So she has about two now. Somebody reached out to you from what other airline was that? Eh? What did she say? I didn't get that. Yes, from that aviation. Amen. Strangers, I was so blessed listening to that testimony. When we say the theme of the month is something, it's because God has designed that month to offer that thing. If you key into it, some people sow into this, they carry it on their head. That's why it's showing in their life. But some people don't know. I'm telling you, you'll be shocked. Ask some people now, what is the theme of this month? This month is about to finish. What is the theme? They can say. What is the theme of last month? They can say. What is the theme? Nothing. What is the theme of the year? Okay, the year. They can say. Because they did not know. They are absent-minded. The moment you start preaching, they are on Instagram. And you're wondering, why are things happening? And it's just passing you by. Everybody say, neighbor, give the word attention. Open Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8 quickly. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1 to verse 3. You know, I said that we should read the book of Romans chapter 5. How many of you read the book of Romans? The book of Romans and the book of Hebrews are one of the most amazing books in the New Testament. Okay, I'm saying Romans. Are we Romans? Romans chapter 8. Okay, then let me keep that Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Then look at Hebrews chapter over. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 11. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 11 to 13. Help me do more. Hebrews chapter 8 11 to 13. What does it say?
And they shall not teach every man his neighbor.
They shall not teach any man. Help me, media. I changed it. Romans chapter 8, you're coming back there, but we're in Hebrews chapter 8 verse 11 now. Okay, continue.
And every man his brother, saying,
yes,
know the Lord.
Yes.
For all shall know me.
All shall know the Lord, yes.
From the least to the greatest.
From the least to the greatest, yes.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness.
I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, yes.
And their sins and their iniquities will I remember
their
no more.
Their sins and their iniquities, I will do what?
Remember no more.
Follow me, church. I will do what? Now, this is God speaking. He said, verse 14? 13. That means the one you read now is verse 12. That's what it means.
Yes, sir.
It says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Verse 13, help me. Do more.
In that he said,
yes,
a new covenant.
A new covenant.
He hath made the first old.
The new covenant made the first covenant old. What it means is that the New Testament made the Old Testament old, yes.
Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready
wait,
to vanish
wait,
away.
That thing is come on. It's not, I want to scatter your mouth. Let's go NLT. NLT. Verse 13.
When God speaks of a new, in quotes,
yes,
covenant,
yes,
it means he has made the first one obsolete.
He has made the first one old-fashioned. He has made the first one old. Then what?
It is now out of date.
The first testament is now out of date, yes.
And will soon disappear.
Will soon disappear. So the Bible says that we have a new testament. We used to have an old testament. media, help me. We used to have an Old Testament. Now we have a New Testament. The Bible says the New Testament makes the Old Testament old. Now, it said in verse 12 that their sins and their iniquities, I will do what? I would remember no more. God says, I will not remember your sins anymore. That point alone means that if someone is constantly reminding you of your sins, it can't be God. Does that make sense? If every time you want to kneel to pray, something say, ah, you. Everybody lift up holy hands. That's what Jesus says, lift up holy hands, and you lifted up your holy hands. Something say, holy, holy. Anybody reminding you of your sins cannot be God. When you come to God, confess your sins to Him. He says, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. That means it will not allow you to suffer guilt and condemnation. Guilt is not godly. Follow me closely. God doesn't want to keep you in guilt. It is Satan that keeps us in guilt and condemnation. What Satan wants to do by giving you guilt is to steal your confidence in God. I'm taking my time. Is to make sure that when you want to pray, you have no authority in prayer. Because the first thing that overwhelms your mind is how unclean and how filthy you are. So that's why you think the pastor's prayer will be heard faster. Because you think in your mind that your prayer cannot be answered because of who you are. Guilt and condemnation is Satan's strategy to steal our confidence. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 12. Ephesians 3 verse 12. Help me do more. King James. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12.
In whom we have boldness
and access. In whom? That's in Christ. In Christ we have boldness, yes?
And access.
And we have access.
With confidence.
The Bible says we have boldness, we have access, and we have confidence in Christ. In Christ we have boldness. Please follow me closely. In Christ I am bold. What Satan does by overwhelming you with guilt is to steal your confidence. So when the enemy comes against your family and you want to open your mouth to pray, it reminds you of how unfit you are to pray.
Yes, sir.
That's what Satan does. It says in whom? Not in your name, not in your righteousness, not in your holiness. It's in Christ that we have boldness. The Bible says that we have access. Access means that you can come to God at whatever time. That's access. In Christ, we have access. You know why people don't cast out devils these days? People are afraid that demons will tell them their sins. So you have watched a lot of movies when the pastor wanted to cast out demons. Hey, you did this. You did this. Shut up, you foul devil. That's why I didn't come to you in my name. That's why I came against you in the name of Jesus. Jesus is not all that. In Him, I have access. In Him, I have confidence. I have confidence in Christ because of the price He paid. What the enemy does with guilt is to rob you of that confidence. Look at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Zechariah 3, verse 1 to 4. Zechariah 3, verse 1. What does it say?
And he showed me Joshua. He showed me
Joshua the high priest. Follow this story. Yes?
Standing before the angel of the
Lord.
Now,
Joshua was an high priest of Israel. The Bible says he was standing before the angel of the Lord. Yes?
And Satan standing at his right
hand. And Satan stood at the right hand of Joshua. And did what?
To resist him.
He was resisting him before God. That's what Satan does. He stood there beside Joshua, who is an high priest. Had no respect for his title. Had no respect for his office. He stood there and he was resisting Joshua. What did he say next? Help me.
And the Lord said unto Satan.
And the Lord said to Satan.
The Lord rebuked thee.
The Lord, God began to address Satan in the life of Joshua. The Lord rebuke you. Yes, what does it say next?
Oh Satan.
Oh Satan.
Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem.
It was the Lord that chose Jerusalem. You see, this had nothing to do with that Jerusalem was right or not right, was wrong or not wrong. It was God's choice to have chosen Jerusalem. The Bible says that ye are a chosen people. You are chosen. It was not about what you did right. You are chosen. It says the Lord that chose Jerusalem. What does it say next? Help me.
Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?
Yes, next verse.
Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments.
Joshua was clothed. So we see that Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Filthy garments. The Bible says, all our righteousness are what?
Filthy garments.
Filthy rags. everything you know how to do right. Fill the rat. Joshua was before the eye, was before God. Moses was dressed in filthy garments. What did God now do next? What did he say?
And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, yes. Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said,
yes.
Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee.
I have caused your iniquity. So Satan stood there leveraging on the iniquity in the life of Joshua. The Bible says he was accusing him. Accusing him. Say, I've removed that garment. Now I'm clothing you with the righteousness of Christ. The Bible says we all of us, our righteousness put together, are nothing but filthy rags. So what he did was to remove that filthy rag and clothe us with the righteousness of God. If you go as far back as Genesis chapter 3, you will see that Adam and Eve tried to cover their nakedness. The Bible says they tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. And you have to understand that everything you read in the Old Testament, that's why you should not read the Old Testament if you have not read the New Testament. It is the New Testament that gives the Old Testament perspective. If you read the Old Testament without the New Testament, you have a twisted, warped perspective of God. The Old Testament must be read through the lens of the New Testament. The Bible says everything you see in the Old is in their types and their shadows. So when you saw that day that Adam and Eve took fig leaves to cover their nakedness, what they were doing was hypocritical. The Bible spoke about the fig tree that had leaves but had no fruit. You remember the book of Matthew chapter 21? The Bible says Jesus Christ cursed the tree. Why did he curse the tree? The tree had leaves but had no fruits. What that means is a life of hypocrisy, a life of deception, a life that tries to produce what it does not have. That was why all through the life of Jesus, he didn't have problem with prostitutes, he didn't have problem with harlots, he didn't have problem with armed robbers, he didn't have problem with he had problem with only who? Pharisees and Sadducees. They are far, you see, and very sad, you see. That is why Bible says there would be something today and something else tomorrow. That's fig leaves. So when they took those fig leaves to cover their nakedness, it was a failed attempt by hypocrisy. And God on that day killed an animal in the garden and used the skin of that animal to clothe Adam and Eve. That was the first expression of the plan of salvation.
Yes,
that God was going to kill. You see, God was the first person to ever kill anything. He killed an animal and clothed their nakedness with the garment of that animal. It was a type of Christ. That's why Revelation 3 verse 8 says that Jesus Christ was slain before the foundations of the world. You see it again in the life of Jacob and Esau and Isaac. There are three patriarchs. We have Abraham, we have Isaac, and we have who? Jacob. Of all the three patriarchs, only one of them was blind. What's his name?
Isaac.
Isaac was the father of Jacob and Esau. When Jacob was going to take the firstborn's blessing, what did he do? He clothed himself in the garment of his elder brother. What that means in scriptures is that we now can wear the garments of Jesus, approach the Father, and take the blessing of the firstborn. The blindness of Isaac was not a mistake. It was a scriptural illustration of how God will be blind to our sins. So he didn't know who it was. Is it Jesus? Is it Philip? Is it Jesus? Is it Stephen? Is it Jesus? Is it Alupha? He said, it just looked like Jesus to me. So everything that Jesus had to get from the Father, he was able to pour on us. Because he can't tell the difference. Can't tell the difference. No guilt. No condemnation. We have a new covenant. And a new covenant comes with a new commandment. Jesus Christ says, a new commandment do I give to you? He says, love. Everything in the New Testament is not the 10 commandments. There's only one commandment. It's the commandment to love. Everything. There is no commandment in the New Testament. There's no commandment for the New Testament believer. His commandment is to love. It's to love the Lord God with all his heart, with all his might, with all his strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. You see, anything that we do and we don't do out of love has no reward in kingdom.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's why we don't argue tight. Why are we arguing tight? you arguing that you are not going to pay your 10%? Wait, I can't understand. Is it the man that laid his life on the cross, except maybe you don't even believe in Jesus? Because some people actually don't believe in God. Christianity is an ink thing, it's a raining thing. That's why they're in church. Because I don't know how I will argue that I was paid 200,000 in my office. And I say, God, as honor to you, I'm giving you 20,000 as my tithe. And it becomes an argument. You don't argue when you don't argue what to give to the person you love.
Yeah.
You see, this tithe argument is a love argument. It's not an issue about, because if you really love God, giving a tithe cannot be a problem. Cleaning the church, coming and joining to serve cannot be a problem. You see, I can be here from morning to night. I don't get paid salary. SLC does. I don't get salary from SLC. The only reason why I'm doing this thing is because I love God. Are you following my point?
Yes, sir.
So if I stamp my foot and say, you don't love God. If you love your neighbor, you will not backbite against your neighbor. There is no commandment not to backbite. Thou shalt not backbite. But if you love your neighbor, you see, if you love your neighbor, you will not be talking bad about your neighbor behind them. You see, this gossip thing we're having in church is a problem. There are too much gossips in church. I don't know why. People leave their house and say, you don't see that your friend. You don't see what she wear. See her bag. These are Christians. It's appalling. And you as a Christian, people came to your house and they sat down, brother, so and so down, and they slaughter him. They slaughter him. You two were there. They came because it's because your trash can lid is open now. That's why they're able to drop trash in it. You found it comfortable. Some people, the way they are itching for gists. Some people can even travel to go and hear gists. Their flesh is craving for gists. Gist me. When last did you crave for the word of God like that? Hey, what me? When last? When last did you go visit your friend just to go and hear? Hey, come on, I got a revelation. I beg, share with me. But gists. Let it now be gist of Christian brother or Christian. Hey! Your ears will open like the ping! You will now carry it to another person. You that you have not shared the gospel. You share gossip. You don't love. If you love someone, you don't gossip about them. You know if you are praying about somebody, you don't gossip about them. Do you know that? If there's a brother who is suffering about a particular thing in church that you know, maybe he's addicted to some form of substance abuse or crack. You know, it's because you're not praying for him. That's why you're very eager to tell the second person about it. If your knees are down in prayer every night, Father, remember brother so and so. Break the grip of this thing over his life. You will not be eager to share that weakness with someone else. You won't be eager. And when somebody comes to gossip somebody to you, I say, hey, Winifred, have you heard the latest? Say what? And he comes and begins to gossip. And you grab his hands and said, let us pray for him. Make sure you don't pray less than 2 hours. From one prayer point to the next one, when you are done, you can be sure that that's the last time the person will come and meet you with that kind of stuff. If you love people, you won't gossip about them. If you love people, you won't backbite. And somebody comes and gossips somebody, if you love the person, you will stop it. Love is the commandment for the new believer. Love. We give out of love. We serve out of love. We walk out of love. We walk in love. We speak the truth in love. You know you can speak the truth out of love. Fire go damage that your. I can speak the truth in hatred. I've seen parents who hate their children. One child told this one, say, look, I'm not beating you so that your life can be better. Say, I'm beating you because you offend me. If you like, let your life be better. So you see people, you can even see parents that bite their children. Wait, if your parents are beating before, let me see. They bite. Yeah. They bite. Amen. All this mental health, that's just that's my mental health. They are going to bite the mental health out of your body. Amen. Love is the commandment of the believer. Love. He loves God. That's all. That's all. And he's able to do anything he's doing because of his love for God. Look at Romans chapter 5. So I'm going to end in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 8. Okay, let's have Romans chapter 5. 5. Let's start 5. Come on. 5 was verse 1. We're going to do only verse 5, chapter 5. And then we'll touch chapter 6, 1. One verse in chapter 6. And then we'll round up. We'll continue next week. Next is our friends and family service. Amazing, man. You guys must bring all your friends. Anybody that brings 5 friends, I will be shawarma. No, not shawarma. Pastor Fumi is saying jollof. And chicken. Pastor Fumi, will you be ready for us? Will you be ready for us? 5 verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. Help me do more. Therefore, being justified by faith,
we have peace with God.
The Bible says we have peace with God
through our Lord Jesus Christ.
So we have peace with God. You see, that alone deals with all the issue around whether God is angry with you or not. The Bible says because we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. God is not at war with you. God is not looking at you every morning and is trying to destroy you. And Jesus Christ is begging him, please now, remember my blood. Remember I'm the one that died on the cross for him. The Bible says that we have peace with him. We are justified. We have peace with God. Go to verse 8 quickly. Romans 5, verse 8. But God
commanded his love towards us.
Commanded his love towards us.
In that, while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us.
The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet. So let's look at this scripture in can we look at it in Passion? Do you have Passion translation?
Yes, sir.
You have Passion. What does Passion say? Romans 5, verse 8. Quickly, what does it say? This passion.
But Christ proved God's passionate love for us.
Yes.
By dying in our place.
He died in our place. Remember I said last Sunday that Jesus Christ did not only die for you, he died as you. So on that cross was the death he could have died. The Bible says he died in our place while we were still lost. And what?
Ungodly.
What does NLT say? Let's have NLT and then let's have a message. What does NLT say?
But God showed his great love for
us. God showed his great love for us.
By sending Christ to die for
us. It was God who sent Christ to die for us.
While we were still sinners.
My emphasis is on while. Val. While we were still sinners, Christ died for me. While I was not saved. Please follow me. When I have not even read my Bible. When I've not even given him my word that I'm going to serve him, Jesus Christ died for me while I was a sinner. What does message say? Do you have message?
Christ arrives right on time. It's 6 to 8.
The Bible says, yes, let's read it together. It says, Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us. Did you see that?
Yes,
the Bible says, he did it and he doesn't wait for us to get ready. He didn't have to wait for you to clean up yourself. The Bible says he presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line. He put his love on the line because he wasn't even sure whether you're going to accept Jesus or not. He put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use. We were useless. Jesus died for me on the cross when I was useless. How much more now that I'm useful? You see, so that is why we can't be preaching unconditional love to sinners and preaching conditional love to saints. If he loved you enough to die for you while you were a sinner, he's now not going to tune down his love for you because he didn't do morning devotion this morning. He's not going to love you less because you have not read your Bible for a week. We are loving to sinners and tough to the saints. And so you see believers who God loves unconditionally because they have not read their Bible. They say, will God answer my prayers today? You say, why? Pastor, I'm not reading my Bible. Did you read your Bible before he died for you? Was it because of your Bible that you read? That he shed his blood for you? Why? So if you go to verse 12, verse 15, verse 17, verse 18 and verse 19 says the same thing. Write it down. Verse 12, verse 15, verse 17, verse 18 and verse 19 says the same thing over and over. Five places in one chapter. Five places in one chapter. The Bible says that because of the sin of one man, everybody became a sinner. Because of the sin of one man, everybody became a sinner. And because of the righteousness of one man, everybody can be made righteous. Again, I emphasize that you did nothing to be a sinner. You don't have to do anything to be righteous.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
By emphasis, five places, it says it. You cannot earn your righteousness. You cannot earn it by good works. He said you did nothing. You did not do anything. They said you were born a sinner because of Adam. Now that you are born again, because of the last Adam, you are righteous.
Yes, sir.
It's called the last Adam. Because he came to undo what the first Adam did wrong. As it is with God with you, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You don't have to do anything to be righteous. You don't have to do anything to be called. All you have to do is to accept Christ. So the question that comes automatically after that is that, so can we continue to be sinning? That's the logical question. Is that not it? Pastor, if I don't have to do anything to be righteous, I'm already righteous of God in Christ. Let's just, what? So there is no way, let me say it. There is no way you preach the true gospel and this question will not arise. Every time you preach the true gospel, this question must arise. So can we continue sinning? Because the true gospel removes the effort to be righteous from you. He must do it. I may not be the holiest person in the world, but I sure have not committed a lot of sins in my life. I've never tasted liquor. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't smoke weed. I don't smoke loud. I don't smoke silent. I don't smoke anything. I don't do anything. You know, there was one time I had terrible back pain. And someone had recommended a drug for me. And I went to the pharmacist. It was a drink. Something bitters. That was the drug. Said drug was going to help me, my whisper. And I checked it and it was about 40-something% alcohol. I told the pharmacist, I'd rather die. Very stressing. Never tasted alcohol. Never. Never tasted alcohol. Either in the gaseous state, liquid state, or solid state. Never tasted alcohol. Never committed adultery. Never. I never committed adultery. Never. But I've been proud before. I've been proud. Okay, they're clapping for me, Abby. Yeah, yeah. But I've been proud before. Do you know I've been proud alone? I have broken the law.
Yeah.
And by breaking the law, I am guilty of being an homosexual. Yeah. Yes. I'm as guilty as an homosexualist. I'm as guilty as a serial rapist. The Bible says if you break one law, you are guilty of everything. So no matter how holy you think you are, nobody here will pass. There's no way you could have earned. Are you following my point? There's no way you could have earned your own righteousness by good works. Even if you pray 70 hours in a day. 17 hours. Out of 24 hours. How many hours do you mean? Eh? 5 hours. No, 8. Is it 8 hours? 7 hours. You pray for 70 hours. 70 hours. The remaining 7 hours, sit down and say, you are a useless person. You were sleeping. You are supposed to pray without. You ceased for 7 hours. Did you not cease? Did you not cease? What did the Bible say? So no matter how much you try, you always fall short. You always fall short. And that's the problem with trying to earn your own righteousness. It will never work. So the question is that, so pastor, now that Jesus has paid the price, can I now live my life loosely? That's what he asked in Romans chapter 6 verse 1. He said, what shall we say then? Because this is the logical question to ask. After all, you said in Romans chapter 4 verse 5, chapter 5, that we don't have to do this. Christ has done that. Christ has done this. So are you saying that we may continue in sin, that grace? Paul answers, God forbid. You see, there are four places in the book of Romans where Paul said, God forbid. God forbid is the closest way to curse, but not curse, really. He says, God forbid. And he says two reasons. One, how that we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 2. How? That's the first reason. That we cannot continue to sin, that grace may abound. The second reason, the second reason is verse 16 of Romans chapter 6. Verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You see that? So, number one is that we that are dead to sin, how do we live to it? Paul spoke about the nature of sin. I'm going to explain this more next week because my time is over. The nature of sin is no longer in you. Praise the Lord. The nature, Bible says you are dead to sin. So let me tell you what happens when a man dies. It's when we die in Christ. Bible says to be absent in the body is to be what? You don't know it? To be absent in the body is what? Present. What's my wallet? To be absent in the body is to be what? Send to mobile. My wallet is not here, but I can promise the best thing. Present. Are you sure? Is that your final answer? Want to call a friend? Okay, I owe you 2K after service. Or just 2K. I'll give you after service. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. So when a man is dead, if you say this man is dead, he's lying here. Can you still see the body? But is he alive? No, he's dead. So when they say the nature of sin is dead in you, it doesn't mean that we cannot see the body. The real Adamic nature was replaced at Calvary. And that's why sin has no dominion over you, because you are not under law, but under grace. But when the Bible says the nature of sin is dead, it doesn't mean that it has become invisible. What sin? You see, sin, the Bible says Christ, he made him who knew no sin. He made him to be sin. Sin was laid on the cross. When you see Jesus on the cross, what you saw that day was the person of sin. That was what was activated in Adam when he had the fruit. The nature of sin died on the cross. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. For the life that I now live, I live by the faith of him who loved me and gave himself for me. But when a man dies, we see his body. What the nature of sin did is that when he died, he left behind a body, a system that's already programmed to hate, to gossip, to lust, to covet. There's a system running. It's a default setting that has been programmed and been used for so long. It has become a program. So even when at the exit of the nature of sin, that program is still running. That program is your unrenewed mind. That's what it means. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12. Go and read the book of Romans. From chapter 1 to chapter 16. That album, 16 tracks. The eighth track in that album is 5, 6, 7, 8. That the eighth track in that album of Romans. Go and read it. I'm telling you. It says that be ye not conformed, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewal of your mind. So what the word of God does is that every time you take in the word, that system in you that the devil left, that this old man, the old man is no longer alive. The old man died in Christ. But that system is running. In verse 16, it spoke about those that you yield yourself. When I yield myself as instruments of unrighteousness, I am not compelled to. I is a yielding. Are you following my point? If you look at that verse 15, it says you yield. That means I let it happen. I use my members as instruments of unrighteousness. He said you become slaves to whom you yield to. So what sin does is that sin does not change your relationship with God. Sin does not make God love you less. You were a worse sinner when he loved you. Are you following my point? You were worse than this when he died for you on the cross. So it was not your sin that changed your relationship with him. Sin, some people can say, Kai, Pastor. Yes, sin does not change God. In the Garden of Eden, sin changed everything. Sin changed man, even sin changed lion. Lion has been friend before. Started to slaughter everything. The only person that sin did not change is God. And God remained unchanged. So your sin today, your falling short does not kill your salvation.
Thank you, sir.
Your falling short of God's instruction does not destroy your standing with Him. You don't become a bastard because you sinned. Are you following me? What sin does to you is that it yields you as a servant to whom you obeyed. You give Satan direct access to your life by sinning. It's a stupid thing to sin, but God loves you stupid. You get my point? Even though you have chosen to be a stupid person, He loves you still. What sin does to you is that it gives Satan a leeway. God is not at war with you. He's pitying you. If He says don't walk out of that door, there's a lion out there. Stay here. You know the instructions of God are for our good. There's no single instruction in the Bible that is for God's good. If He says don't commit fornication, it's for your good. Don't do this, it's for your good. Anything God says is for your good. If you now carry the sin you have sinned and take it, what a loving Father is He? If you take your sin to Him, He's able to make that sin. And you say, Kai, this guy's messed up. What can we do? He will shape it, and still bring something beautiful out of it. Because He's God. But every time you commit sin, you give Satan a leeway. For instance, I am a product of sin. My father and my mother were fornicating. When my mother, is that not what happens? When people are not married, have sex? Is that not what happens? Oh no, it's fornicating. Fornication. So my mother and my father were not married, and she got pregnant of me. You see that now? And my mother tried to abort me severally, but I did not abort. Now, look at that. Look at that. You would have wondered. Look at what God brought out of the fruit of sin. The Bible says He knows how to call light out of darkness. So what you call darkness, if you bring it to God, bring the stains of your life. Bring the pains, bring the splatters of pain and stain and stench of your life. You bring it to Jesus. He will sit down and paint it and decorate it. He will make it such a masterpiece. You will think He planned it like that from the beginning. But if you keep sinning, you give Satan a leeway. You fornicate, you get pregnant, the next sister says, shame. Nobody was here. What next? Abort. He lures you into the sin, then wants to teach you how to clean it up. Then you have never shed blood before in your life. Say, hey, Jesus, pastor must not hear. Hey, how would they hear? And there will always be a friend that knows where to do it. So Satan will say, now that you have agreed to do it, let me show you a friend that will take you there. You see, the greatest effect of Satan in our lives are through our friends. It was somebody that told Amnon to rape his sister. He told him, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to plan it. Some of you are where you are today because of your friends. Useless friends. So he says, come. You go and abort the baby. Now you have shed blood. In aborting the baby, they destroy your womb. Can you see Satan now? All the while, your life is getting destroyed. You come back to God, He's a merciful God. But now the doctor says you can't have a baby. You now begin to go to NSPPDD. You begin to go everywhere. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Every time you are praying, the pastor says, no, you have to lay claim. You have to put your foot on the ground. Fruitfulness is your own. It's your portion in Christ. The moment you want to put it, hey, don't buy belle. If you put any, you have forgotten. You want to form, what do you call that thing? Yeah, that you cannot remember. Wasn't that thing you went to do? You say, it's true. Hey, Father, mercy. And so when you should have been able to lay claim in Christ, you become sheepish. You lost your confidence. He overwhelms you with guilt and condemnation. Why? You open the door for Him. The Bible calls Him the thief. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. Every time you keep on sinning, you give Satan a leeway. Keep smoking that stuff. Your kidney is going for it. That's the truth. God will love you even with a kidney failure. As you are dying, oh my son, you are dying. Oh, absent in the body is present with me. To be with Jesus is better. Leave that kidney body and come here. He loves you whether on earth or in heaven, but you could have stayed longer here. You don't have to die so fast. He loves you dead or alive. He loves you dead or alive. Every time you keep putting your fingers and putting your hands into sin, you keep stealing money. One day, yes, he comes to your office and grabs everybody. You continue your Yahoo business. You are picking until they pick you. You now begin to pray. You call the brethren, let us begin to pray. Nobody knows the background story. As you go to prison, he loves you still. I don't know people that should hear the gospel in the prison. It's, I send you as a missionary to the prison, my son. Go and minister. Your life destroyed like that. But even with your life destroyed, he does what? He loves you still. That's what sin does to you. Keep at it. Mashelo. Wabambe. The Bible says, be sure that your sin will do what? Will find you out. I've been a victim many times. You know, some of us don't even know how to cover our tracks. They find you out. I tell about my friend on campus. We are going to buy a porn movie. And I was in the shop, wanted to pick a CD for a choir. And I had his name, I had his voice outside there. He asked the man, do you have mojo? Do you know what they call mojo? Oh, you don't know mojo. It's those days, it used to be CD. When you are playing the CD and they take the light, you stay with the CD till they bring the light. Some of you now know how to lose CD. That's how you learn that skill. Because you can, hey, see church, oh, see church, hey, Oluwamio. That's how some of you became technicians. What you did not learn in school, sin taught you. Because you cannot leave that CD there. That guy that day had come to buy the CD. And I had his voice. When I had his voice, I looked back and I saw him. I called him, Brother James. He turned back and began to walk briskly. He walked briskly, I walked briskly behind him. Brother James! He increased his pace and started running. I started running after him. Brother James! From that day till now, Brother James never heard me. He did not hear me. I shouted out of my voice, Brother James! Brother James! He never heard me. I'm sure as he was going, the Holy Ghost was telling him, you see yourself? You see yourself now? JB, I told you, don't go and buy that thing. That brother Philip has seen you now. See what I've caused. Guilt, condemnation, pain will come as fruits of sin. I'm going to elaborate this more next week. You are dead to sin. Tell me, say, neighbor, the sin nature is no longer in you. Say it again. Say, the sin nature is no longer in you. Now, bring out the communion quickly. If you're here this morning, all heads bowed, all eyes closed, and your case is different. You are not even, you know, it's not about whether you are saved or not. You have gotten to the point in your life where everything is even blacked out. You don't know Jesus. Even though he knows you, even though he loves you, yet you don't know him. You live far away from him. Your life is a distance. You feel cold. Cold in the hands of sin and Satan. You are even tired. You want to live your life differently. You want to live your life separately. You want to live your life in a different way. You know God had paid his price. And paid his price and given his blood and died on the cross. But you are not there yet. Maybe yours was that you were with him and then you lost it. You want to say, Pastor, please help me. I want to come back to Jesus. I want to come back to him. He laid his life down for me, but I'm going to come back to him. Maybe you walked away. Maybe you've never come to him. Maybe something happened. Maybe you lost a loved one in Christ, and you cried and you felt that what was God looking at, and this happened. Maybe you lost a parent. Maybe you suffered from a particular pain or particular disaster or crisis that broke your faith in God. Whatever it is, I want you to know that God's hands are open to you today. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. If you're that kind of person, you want to say, Pastor, please help me back to Jesus. I want you to lift your hands. Lift your right hands. I want to pray with you. Yes, I see that. God bless you. Lift it up high, very high. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lift it up so I can see you wherever you are. Lift up your hands. I want to be able to see where you are. You want to say, Pastor, please help me. Help me to return to Jesus. Help me to come back to Him. Come to the front here. I want to pray with you right here. Come. Come to the front. Come. Come from wherever you are. Come. If you lifted up your hands, come to the front. I surrender all to everything I
need.
I surrender all. I surrender everything I give,
everything I give to
you. I surrender all. If you're there, don't stay back. If you're seated in the back, please don't stay back. Lift your hands, come to the front. I want to bring you to Jesus. I want to bring you to Jesus this morning. This is the moment you've been waiting for. Don't stay back in the hands of sin, hands of Satan, and lose out on the warmth of the embrace of God's love.
To you, everything I need, everything I need.
Listening to this message, meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.